Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and today Masechta Shavuos, Daf Chaf He, the third parak, Shavuos Shtayim. So the three Dafs we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah teaches the applications of Shavuos Bitui, an oath of utterance which obligates a carbon. It takes effect whether he swears about Dvarim Shel Atzmo, matters pertaining to himself, or Dvarim Shel Acherim, matters pertaining to others, such as swearing I'll give something to Plony, or that he'll not give him, or already did, or did not give him. It also applies to Dvarim She'ein Behem Mamish, matters which have no substance. The Mishnah provides examples of two categories of this principle. One who swears She'ishan, that I'll sleep, or I'll not sleep, or already did, or did not sleep, which is intangible. Or one who swears She'ezrok Sor L'yam, that I'll throw a stone into the sea, which benefits no one. Rav Shmuel holds there's only a carbon for a shvua made about the future based on the Pasuk's language, but Rabbi Akiva darshans to include shvuas about the past. This machlokas is explained on the next daf. Point number two, if someone falsely swore, Shazark Pony Tzrola Yum, that Pony threw a stone into the sea, or did not, Rav says it obligates a carbon since this shvua can be made b'lav v'hein, both in the negative and in the positive form. Shmuel says he's exempt because Leisa Behoaba, it lacks a valid future form, since swearing Pony will or will not throw a stone is a shvua shav, a vain shvua, since that person's actions are out of his control. This malchokas is explained in two ways. Number one, they argue according to Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon even for a past tense shvua. Still, Shmuel says Rabbi Akiva only holds this for Milsa de Eis Behoaba, a matter which has a valid future form. This shvua, which lacks a future form, is even exempt for the past form. And number two, they argue according to the Rabbanan on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, who exempt one who violates a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah because it lacks a valid negative form, since swearing to violate a mitzvah isn't effective. Still, Rav says that they only require lav v'hein, a negative and positive form, which the Pasuk explicitly mentions, but not future and past forms, since a past tense shvua is only derived from a drasha. And point number three, according to Shmuel, it's understood why the Torah created a new category of shvuas ha'edus, swearing falsely about not knowing testimony, because since it lacks a future form, one cannot swear that he will or will not know testimony, it would not obligate a carbon without this pasuk. But according to Rav, who does not require a future form, why did the Torah need to establish this category? Rabbi suggested to Abai that the Torah is obligating a second carbon, but Abai quoted a braisa darshing that shvuas ha'edus is only chai for one carbon. Instead, the Gemara answers that the Torah taught this category, which does not say v'ne'alam, and his sin was concealed from him, in contrast to other karbanas, to teach that shvuas ha'edus is uniquely liable for a carbon even b'mezid. Rava says that even without a pasuk, shvuas ha'edus cannot be liable twice, because after it was made a distinct category, it was entirely removed from the category of shvuas bitui. Rashi says the nafka mina would be an invalid witness who swears, or one who swears outside basin, whether he'd be liable for a shvuas bitui. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The next Mishnah teaches the applications of shvuas bitui, an oath of utterance which obligates a carbon. It takes effect whether he swears about dvarim shel atzmo, matters pertaining to himself, or dvarim shel acherim, matters pertaining to others, such as swearing I'll give something to Plony, or that he'll not give him, or already did, or did not give him. It also applies to Dvarim She'ein Behem Mamish, matters which have no substance. The Mishnah provides examples of two categories of this principle. One who swears She'ishan, that I'll sleep, or I'll not sleep, or already did, or did not sleep, which is intangible. Or one who swears She'ezrok Sor L'yam, that I'll throw a stone into the sea, which benefits no one. Rav Shmuel holds there's only a carbon for a shvua made about the future based on the Pasuk's language, but Rabbi Akiva darshans to include shvuas about the past. This machlokas is explained on the next daf. Point number two, if someone falsely swore, Shazark Pony Tzrola Yum, that Pony threw a stone into the sea, or did not, Rav says it obligates a carbon since this shvua can be made b'lav v'hein, both in the negative and in the positive form. Shmuel says he's exempt because Leisa Behoaba, it lacks a valid future form, since swearing Pony will or will not throw a stone is a shvua shav, a vain shvua, since that person's actions are out of his control. This malchokas is explained in two ways. Number one, they argue according to Rabbi Akiva, who obligates a carbon even for a past tense shvua. Still, Shmuel says Rabbi Akiva only holds this for Milsa de Eis Behoaba, a matter which has a valid future form. This shvua, which lacks a future form, is even exempt for the past form. And number two, they argue according to the Rabbanan on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, who exempt one who violates a shvua to fulfill a mitzvah because it lacks a valid negative form, since swearing to violate a mitzvah isn't effective. Still, Rav says that they only require love v'hein, a negative and positive form, which the pasuk explicitly mentions, but not future and past forms, since a past tense shvua is only derived from a drasha. And point number 3, according to Shmuel, it's understood why the Torah created a new category of shvuas ha'edus, swearing falsely about not knowing testimony, because since it lacks a future form, one cannot swear that he will or will not know testimony, it would not obligate a carbon without this pasuk. But according to Rav, who does not require a future form, why did the Torah need to establish this category? Rabbi suggested to Abai that the Torah is obligating a second carbon, but Abai quoted a braisa darshing that shvuas ha'edus is only chai for one carbon. Instead, the Gemara answers that the Torah taught this category, which does not say v'ne'alam, and his sin was concealed from him, in contrast to other karbanos, to teach that shvuas ha'edus is uniquely liable for a carbon even b'mezid. Rava says that even without a pasuk, shvuas ha'edus cannot be liable twice, because after it was made a distinct category, it was entirely removed from the category of shvuas bitui. Rashi says the nafka mina would be an invalid witness who swears, or one who swears outside Beis Din, whether he'd be liable for a shvuas bitui. All right, so now we go to our siman daf chaf hey, and our standard siman is a 25th silver wedding anniversary. A 25th silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. Things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary party. When the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that Pony threw her gift ring into the sea, that even the aiding that he tried to bring refused to testify, falsely swearing b'mezid that they didn't see anything. Once again, slow motion. Things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary. 25th silver wedding anniversary? That must be more daf chav hey. Things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, which reminds us that shvuas bitui even applies to dvarim she'ein behem mamish, matters which have no substance. The mission provides examples of this principle. One who swears she'ishan that I'll sleep, or I will not sleep, or already did or did not sleep, which is intangible. So things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that Pony threw her gift ring into the sea, which reminds us, if someone falsely swore, Shazark Pony Tzorla Yum, that Pony threw a stone into the sea or did not, Rav says it obligates a carbon, since this shvua can be made b'lav v'hein, both in the negative and in the positive form. Shmuel says he's putter because leisa b'lahaba, it lacks a valid future form, since swearing Pony will or will not throw a stone is a shvua shav, a vain shvua, since that person's actions are out of his control. So, things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that Pony threw her gift ring in the sea, that even the aiding that he tried to bring refused to testify, falsely swearing b'mezid that they didn't see anything, which reminds the Gemara explains why the Torah created a category of shvuas ha'edus, which is included in shvuas bitui. According to Shmuel, it's understood why the Torah created a new category of shvuas ha'edus, because since it lacks a future form, one cannot swear that he will or will not know testimony, it would not obligate a carbon without this pasuk. According to Rav, the Gemara answers that the Torah taught this category, which does not save an elam, and his sin was concealed from him, in contrast to other karbanos, to teach that shvuas ha'edus is uniquely liable for a carbon, even b'mezid. So once again, things went from bad to worse at the 25th silver wedding anniversary party, when the husband first tried to please his wife by making a shvua that he'll not fall asleep while she's talking to him, and then swore to her that Pony threw her gift ring in the sea, that even the aiding that he tried to bring refused to testify, falsely swearing b'mezid that they didn't see anything. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazara. Daf Chaf Av. So the simmer Daf Chaf Av is a car, because Bostonians pronounce car as ka. So here goes. The man who violated 2 oaths about the past, having driven the car he swore he didn't drive, and claiming it was a boat, which reminds us, Rabbi quoted Rabbi Avo's name. Rabbi Yochanan holds that both Shavua Sheker and Shavua Shav refer to oaths about the past. One who falsely swears, I ate or I did not eat, where the falsehood is not self-evident, is categorized as Sheker. The case of Shav, a vain Shavua, is one who is Nishbel Lashanos as the Adula Adam, swore contrary to what is known to people, meaning an obvious falsehood, for example, that a man is a woman or that a stone is gold. So, the man who violated 2 oaths about the past, having driven the car he swore he didn't drive, and claiming it was a boat and was getting lashed because this Shavuos Sheker was similar to a Shavuos Shav, which reminds us, this second version of Rabbi Yochanan was inferred from a statement of Rabbi Yovo. Rabbi Yochanan said, a lav she'ein bo maisa, a negative prohibition without an action, generally does not incur malkas with three exceptions, one of them, nishba. Rabbi Yovo asked which case of Shavuos Sheker Rabbi Yochanan was including for malkas. One who swears he will not eat and later does eat transgresses with an action and obviously incurs malkas. If one swears to eat and does not eat, Rabbi Yochanan holds he does not incur malkas since it has no action. Therefore, the Shavuos Sheker which incurs malkas must be one who swears falsely about the past, similar to a Shavuos Shav which is also about the past. So the man who violated two oaths about the past, having driven the car he swore he didn't drive, and claiming it was a boat, and was getting lashed because this Shavuos Sheker was similar to a Shavuos Shav, grew even more distressed when a rabbi told him he had also broken his oath not to eat by nibbling a crumb he found in the car's cup holder, even though the rabbi usually held that the shir v'achila is a kazayis, which reminds us, we learned that Rabbi Akiva generally holds one is only chayav for all eating prohibitions when one eats a kazayis, but holds by a shvua, hoil mefarish chayav, since one who specifies to prohibit even a minimal consumption is liable for it. Stam nami chayav, so one who swears without specifying is also liable for a koshu. This is because a person who swears not to eat may not refer to the Torah's definition of eating, which is a kazayis, but even to minimal eating. Daf chabes, so the simmer daf chabes is a cab. So here goes. The driver from Kosher who cleaned cabs, that must be on daf chabes. The driver from Kosher who cleaned cabs, who made a passenger swear that he wouldn't even eat a kosher in his cab, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan argued, if one who swore not to eat is only chayav for eating a kazayas, three limitations are made about this machlokas. The first one being, Rava says he only argue about bestam, about a non-specific shvuah, meaning where he simply swore not to eat, but mafarish, regarding one who specifies in a shvuah not to eat even a minimal amount, all agree is chayav for eating a koshu, because mafarish nami kaber yadami, one who specifies a minimal amount is akin to eating a whole creature, which is liable for a koshu, because his specification gives it significance. So the driver from Koshu who cleaned cabs, who made a passenger swear that he wouldn't even eat a Koshu in his cab, and made another swear that he wouldn't eat afar, which reminds us, Rava says that if one swears not to eat and then eats afar, dirt, he's patur from liability because dirt is inedible. Rava asks, if one explicitly swore, I will not eat dirt, how much dirt must he consume to be chayv? Since he swore not to eat, is a kazayis required, the normal shear for eating? Or do we say, kevin de la mida da achli inshihu? Since it's not something which people eat, the shvua prohibits even a koshu. The question is left unresolved. So the driver from Koshu who cleaned cabs, who made a passenger swear that he wouldn't even eat a koshu in his cab, and made another swear that he wouldn't eat afar, told them that since they swore not to eat, he can't take them for drinks because shtia b'chalal achila, which reminds us, Shmuel said that if one swears shlo ochal, that I will not eat, and then drink, he's chayev. Shmuel said this can be demonstrated either from logic or from a pasuk. Iboy say masvara, if you want to say it's logical, because a person tells his friend, nito midi, let us taste, meaning eat something, and they go and eat and drink, indicating that drinking was included in a statement. Daf chaf gimel, so the simmer daf chaf gimel is kugelach. So here goes. When the reigning kugelach champ, kugelach, that must be more on daf chaf gimel. When the reigning kugelach champ swore not to eat or drink during the game, which reminds the Gemara discusses of a shvua not to eat or drink if shtia b'chol achila. The Gemara explains that a person would be chayv twice if he swore not to eat and additionally swore not to drink, since he revealed his intent that the eating which he said referred to eating alone and not drinking. So when the reigning kugelach champ swore not to eat or drink during the game, and his main competitor swore not to drink wine, oil, or honey, which are considered separate shvuas, which reminds us, we learned that when swearing not to drink wine, oil, or honey, they're considered separate shvuas when the three liquids are in front of him. So when the reigning kugelach champ swore not to eat or drink during the game, and his main competitor swore not to drink wine, oil, or honey, which are considered separate shvuos, the boy who got out first swore he wouldn't eat nevela or kosher meat the next time they played. Which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who swore not to eat and ate forbidden foods such as nevelas and trefos is chayev. This is explained here to be the Mefarish, where he explicitly specified in his Shvua not to eat Nevelos. The Gemara objects that the Shvua should still be ineffective since Mushba Mahar Sinaihu. He's already sworn from Har Sinai not to eat forbidden foods. Rav Shmuel and Rav Yochanan answer, B'kol al Dvarim humutarim in Dvarim Asurin. The case is with one who included in his Shvua permitted items along with forbidden items, meaning he swore not to eat Nevelos or eat kosher meat. And since the Shvua takes effect regarding the permitted items, it's also effective for the forbidden items based on the principle of Isser Kolel. Daf Chav Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Chav Dalet is a kud, a pitcher. So here goes. The man who is liable to a chattis for eating the velo from a pitcher, that must more on Daf Chav Dalet, kud. The man who is liable to a chattis for eating the velo from a pitcher on Yom Kippur, since it's an Isser Kolel, a Bama Elav, which reminds us, on the previous Daf, Rabbi Yochanan explained that a Shvua not eating the velos took effect because he included permitted items in the Shvua using the principle of Isser Kolel. Reish Lakish rejected Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation because he holds Isser Kolel only applies to Isser Habama Elav, with a prohibition which comes by itself, meaning a standard Isser imposed by the Torah, for example, Yom Kippur, which imposes a second prohibition on eating Nevela along with permitted items. But Be'isra Ba'al Yidei Atzma, with a prohibition which comes about through the man himself, such as a Shvua, where the person creates the Isser, the principle of Isser Kolel does not apply. So the man who is liable to a chattis for eating Nevela from a pitcher on Yom Kippur, since it's an Isser Kolel, a Bama Elav, and violated again via an Isser Mosiv when he ate Nevela he had made Hekdush sitting in a second pitcher, which reminds us, Tanaim argue about Isser Kolel, a more inclusive prohibition, where the second Isser prohibits more items than the first, such as eating on Yom Kippur, if that second Isser takes effect on items already prohibited, such as Nevela. Rav explains the opinion who does hold that Isser Kol takes effect on the first prohibition. Midi dahave a Isser Mosiv. It's similar to a more expansive prohibition, where the second Isser adds to the prohibition already on this item, meaning forbidden food becoming prohibited, even in benefit. So the man who is liable to a chatzis for eating the vela from a pitcher on Yom Kippur, since it's an Isser Kolel, a Bama Elav, and violated again via an Isser Mosif when he ate the vela he had made Hekdush sitting in a second pitcher, was surprised to learn that an Isser Kolel even applies with an Isser Abal Yidei Atzmo when his friend who swore not to eat figs and then swore not to eat figs and grapes ate figs from a pitcher and violated both O's, which reminds us, Rava said that according to the opinion who holds of Isser Kolel, if one swears not to eat figs, and then swears not to eat figs and grapes, migu dechaila anavim chal nami ateinim. Since the Shvua takes effect regarding grapes, it also takes effects on figs. So eating figs would transgress both Shvuos. The Gemara asks that this seems obvious and explains that one might have thought, as Reish Lakish held, that the second Isser only takes effect with an Isser which comes by itself, but not with an Isser ba me'atzmo, a prohibition which comes through the man himself. So Rava taught, this isn't so. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we discuss which Shvua violation incurs malchus without an action? That's on daf Chafala. Good. Number 2, which daf in that Shvua's beat do we even apply to Dvarim She'ein Behem Mamish? For example, swearing that I will not sleep. That's on daf Chaf Hey. Good. Number 3, which daf do we learn that according to Reish Lakish, an Isser Kolel only applies to Isser Ba Me'elav, such as Yom Kippur? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 4, which daf do we discuss how a Shvua not to eat forbidden foods like Nevela takes effect? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 5, which daf do we discuss if someone swears Shazark Pony throw a yum, that someone threw a stone into the sea, whether he's chayv a carbon? That's on daf Chav Hey. Good. Number 6, which daf do we discuss when swearing not to drink wine, oil, or honey is considered separate Shvuos? That's on daf Chav Gimel. Good. Number 7, which daf do you learn the one who swears not to eat figs and then swears not to eat figs and grapes would be chayv twice for eating the figs? That's on daf Chav Dalet. Good. Number 8, which daf do you discuss why the Torah created a category of Shvuos Eidos which is included in Shvuos Bitui? That's on daf Chav Hey. Good. Number 9, which daf do you discuss the case of two shvilin, two paths where one was tameh and one was tahor, and someone walked on both and then entered the mikdash? That's on daf Yudtes. Good. Number 10, which daf do you discuss how much one has to eat if they swear not to eat afar? That's on daf Chabez. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.